Well, I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope it was a great week. For my fellow hunters out there, I know you're asking this burning question. Yes, I scoped myself. All right, we've settled that one. Strangely enough, I got a little too cozy while I was sighting in my rifle, and I didn't see that coming, ironically, which is very fitting for what we are talking about today. You remember Arthur? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about him. He was out golfing and had a problem. He couldn't see the ball, so he took out his brother-in-law, who couldn't remember where the ball went, but could see it perfectly. Yeah, you remember that? Well, Arthur went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Arthur, how are things going? You're in good health other than your eyesight, but I know you're a man of faith, so how's your relationship with God going?" And Arthur says, "Doc, I got to tell you, God's great. He's got it all worked out perfectly. Because, you know, at my age, I got to get up in the middle of the night, and when I go to the bathroom, poof, God has the light come on for me. And when I'm done, poof, the light goes off." Well, this obviously concerns the doctor to some extent. So he calls up his wife, Debbie, that is Arthur's wife. He says, "Debbie, I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned about Arthur. His health is good. Otherwise, he seems well. But I asked him that about his relationship with God, and he says that when he has to get up to go to the bathroom at night, poof, the light comes on. And when he leaves, poof, the light turns off. Is that true?" And after a long pause, he hears Debbie on the other line, "Oh, dear. Arthur's been using the fridge again. Oh, dear." Some of you just got it. Oh, no. By the way, I had to pass this joke by my wife before I even preached because I was like, "Am I going too far?" She said, "Maybe." All right. But like Arthur, if our vision isn't clear, sometimes we can do a little more damage than good, right? If our vision isn't good. So at the end of the year, next year will be a little bit different. We will have every week be Advent-oriented. But we are, at the end of this year, going through a vision exam. If this is your first time here, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect because you get to see what the heartbeat of grace is, why we are here, why God has pulled us together. We need to have a clear vision of our mission, which is this: Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. The very first two phrases there, Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God, is the most simplistic iteration of this. That is our purpose here. The only reason we are here is to show you how good God is, to show others how good God is. But we believe particularly those three areas God has called us to glorify Him through are serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. We looked at that first phrase that's in color here. You notice some of those words are in different colors. Yes, each one of those colors has a purpose. It wasn't just me trying to be neat. Each one has a purpose behind the color. We looked at Grace Baptist Church. We looked at Glorify God a couple of weeks ago. And this week we're going to look at that next phrase, serving our community. Serving. If you wanted to see what this looks like in a model, this is it right here. We have two foundational principles, worship and connection. You have worship without connection, you have an individual. You have connection without worship, you have a club. You have worship and connection, you have a church. We have connected to worship God. And that has three pillars of serving, seeking, and growing. And each one has its own symbol. Today we're going to bring into focus serving, because God has called Grace Baptist to serve Tyrone and the surrounding community. This is what He's called us to do, serve. And we use light. We use the color yellow on purpose. It's associated with light. Jesus Christ, light of the world. We emit light. When we do good things, that is our light shining the world around us. We're going to see that this morning. And it's correlated to illumination and knowledge. It reveals the truth to all who see it. Light is pouring in and is revealing reality and giving a clear perspective of the truth. That's what we are thinking of when we think of light. If I turn these lights off, we wouldn't be able to see each other very well, would we? especially on a dim day like today. It's a beautiful winter's day, but it doesn't provide much light. It's hard to see. The church is called the light of the world, and we shine as lights of the gospel when it lives out in our day-to-day interactions, when it shows through what we do, when we humbly serve others the way that Christ did. If you want a simple idea of what serving is, it's using your resources to help someone else. That's it. Using your resources to help others. Because truth is, I want my life to count for something. Don't you? I want my life to count for something. And preferably something longer lasting than my own life. I would like it to last a long time. If possible, eternity. You wonder why I spend so much time trying to win the lost. Because their soul is going to last for eternity. I want my life to count for something for eternity. That's why we do what we do here. That's service. I want, and at Grace, I don't think we're much different than that. We want what we do to count for something. But why do we serve? Why do we serve? Should we do it to compete with other churches? Well, if we serve, or if we don't serve and other churches are going, where do you think people are going to go? They're going to go to other churches. Is that a good motive? Mm-mm. What about competing with other religions? Did you know that one of the fastest growing religions in the world, Christianity is one of the fastest diminishing religions, by the way. The fastest growing is Islam. Do you know why? Two main purposes, two main reasons. Number one, they're having more children than anyone else. Hint, hint. My young couples, we're counting on you. No. Secondly, they intentionally go into communities that are not well-to-do, that are going through difficult times, and use their resources and generosity to attract people to their faith. And that's a religion that I believe with my whole heart is a false religion. If we are so convinced of the truth of Christ, this Christ who came and died for us, why would we not be more generous than that? Can you imagine moving into a community with one express purpose? I want to be a blessing to the people in there. Wow. That's service. But should we do it to compete with other religions? Nope. That's not a good enough motive either. Should we do it so that we look good? Hey, check out how generous I am. Read how Jesus responded to the publicans, the ones that blew a trumpet while they were praying or announced, "Yes, I will write a check to your charity." He goes, "That is your reward." And as soon as that echo dies, so does your reward. No, we don't do it to look good. In fact, a lot of the good that happens at Grace, no one knows about. I love it. People up there, people are asking, "What do you do up there at Grace?" I never hear anything. Some people have said it, very few. But if somebody said that to me, I was like, good. I don't want people necessarily advertising all the good we do. So that's not what this is about. So I want to clarify that's not what this. Because remember, one of our primary principles, the foundation there, is glorifying God, making Him look good. So why? Why do we serve? We serve because serving pleases God. That's the first and foremost. Serving pleases God. It delights Him. It makes Him happy. It lets Him rejoice. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:1. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." In other words, what you are going to do isn't going to count for long. It's just going to count with the applause of people. Jesus goes on to talk about later on that essentially, when we do those things, our rewards will only be remembered as long as we are. What if you wanted your life to count for eternity? What would that change about what you did in life? The rewards for what you do, the return on that investment. You only have one life. Invest it well. Invest it in something that's going to outlast you. And in fact, that quite often does mean you're going to do something in secret. No one's going to know about it. No one's going to applaud it. God will reward it. He sees in secret. Paul says in Colossians 3, 23 through 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Heartily just means with all you got in you. Give it all you got as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. See, we're ultimately not serving the people that we're serving. When we serve others, we are serving God. Not them. Not directly anyway. We are showing how good He is. We serve to please God. And it's going to take some gusto, isn't it? It's going to take some dedication. I mean, these four gentlemen up here did not just fill this room with sound because they decided to pick up a trumpet this morning or a trombone. A whole bunch of instruments that I have no clue what they are. I was a woodwind, not brass. Bagpipes, don't. You don't fill a room with music like that just because you decided to pick it up. It took dedication, didn't you? Yeah. I'm guessing none of you started last year when you came in, right? It's been a few years. Yeah. And by the way, while they're playing, if you've ever noticed, their faces get awful red. It takes work. It takes effort. And that's just one example. It's going to take work, but you know what? It pleases God. But there's a reason that it pleases God. Because Paul goes on to say, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. We are imitating Christ. Serving imitates Christ. This light of the world, this hope of the world that we are talking about today, that we talked about earlier, was a servant. One of the main passages that talk about the coming Messiah, Christ Himself, talks about Him in the form of a suffering servant, God's servant. And Jesus says to His disciples, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This is in the context of the Last Supper. If you had one last day with the people you loved most, how would you spend it? Okay, other than a super saved answer, thank you for robbing the thunder out of my point. He said serving them. You'd want to go out and do some adventurous things, something super meaningful. What does Jesus do? Hey, let's have supper, and when you guys come in, I'll wash your feet. This was the night before He was crucified. And He's telling them, I have done this for you. I have served you, so you should serve too. This is the greatest form of follow the leader. We do it because He did it. We are just imitating Him. We're just emulating Him. See, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. He is a servant. Paul in Philippians says this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, in other words, don't just be self-serving, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours, in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That means Jesus, He's God. He's God the Son. But He didn't think it was just something to be clung onto and used for His own advantage. But emptied Himself, made Himself of no account by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When we serve, we follow the example of the ultimate servant, Jesus. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. On the night He died, He actually begged, God, let this cup pass from me. Father, I don't want to do this. But He still submitted. And He still served in the ultimate form. This was His purpose in life. And He submitted His will to God's, humbly serving us and God in the most extreme way possible, giving up His life. See, we were saved for this very purpose, to serve others. The Bible is pretty explicit. Let me just run through a bunch of passages in case you don't think the Bible is clear on this one.
Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. By working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." And it goes on and on and on that we serve not only those of the household of faith, but everyone in our community. Everyone that you interact with is a person you are to serve, however possible. God has called us to serve, to embody Christ's love and humility to everyone we encounter. Because when we do that, we're fulfilling a major part of our purpose here in this world. Jesus made it clear that serving shines to the world. Serving shines to the world. In Matthew chapter 6, or 5, verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before others," we heard this one earlier today, "so that they may see your good works and think how good a Christian you are." Oh, sorry. Totally read that in the modern American version. All right. "So that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven." Let me ask you, are there good people in the world that are not saved, that are not Christian, don't claim to follow Jesus, don't go to any sort of Christian organization? Yes. So, is doing good things alone enough? Your talk better back up your walk, and your walk better back up your talk. Both of those have to be. Because you can do good things and have nothing to do with God. And you can claim to be a follower of God and not do a single good thing. They have to line up. Good works backed up with saying, "It's only because of God that I do this. It's only because of Jesus, not because of any ulterior motive, not because of anything that's going to do for me. It's for him." Because service shines out in our dark world. So we serve to be a light. Because God is busy about the business of glorifying himself, of showing his goodness to the world around us. And he wants to give you the opportunity to be a part of that. He wants to give you a slice of that pie. He wants to invite you into his self-revealing plan for the ages and give you your part of that. How amazing is that? That at this time of year, when not just physically, but even spiritually, sometimes emotionally, this can be the darkest time of the year for most people. And we have the opportunity to show that goodness, to be a light of hope in this world by serving others. That's why we let our light shine. This is a work that has an eternal result, an eternal benefit. What other work could you say that about? What other work lasts that long? Paul says in Galatians 5:13, and if you want, this is like the key passage for this concept, okay? This is the one we hang it all on, Galatians 5:13 and 14. But in 5:13, he says this: "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." We're doing something no one else can do. We're free, and that freedom gives us an opportunity to willfully serve one another. We are not just demanded and forced to serve. We have the free opportunity to serve in a way like no one else could. To humbly search out ways of meeting the needs of the people around us, not under compulsion, freely as an act of love. See, service is love displayed. The key phrase we need to get from this is that caring people are serving people. Caring people are serving people. We are both people who are serving and thus should be serving other people. If you care enough about other people, service should be part of just what we do. Naturally, should come by what we know. Caring people are serving people. Jesus said this: By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, here's how this worked out in the early church. The early church would either get you healed or give as much as they could to ease your passing. They were serving people. Everyone knew that there was a haven, a refuge. Widows, orphans, outcasts, the diseased knew that there was a refuge called the church. They didn't have to ask where's the nearest shelter. They didn't have to ask where's the nearest hospitals. They didn't have those. Hey, do you know any Christians? Yeah, I need something. So we serve. And we're helping everyone take the next step as we serve. Because caring people are serving people. So how do we do this? How do we serve? Let's be a little practical on this one. If there is one topic that should be practical, it's serving, right? It's love in action. So how do we do this? Back on that key verse, it gives us a clue here. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The very fact that Paul has to mention this as a command lets us know something. This is not going to just come naturally. You don't command somebody to do something that's natural. Hey, make sure you fall asleep after Thanksgiving watching football. I didn't have to say it. We just did it. It comes natural. This is not going to come natural, is it? Everything in us is saying, serve yourself. Make sure that your rights are taken care of. Make sure that your needs are met. Make sure that your property is protected. Make sure everything about you is what you're taking care of, when we've already seen that we don't just look after our own interests, but the interest of others. This has to be supernatural. It's not going to be natural. It's going to be supernatural or anti-natural. It's going to be uncomfortable at first, but you know what? The more you do it, the more comfortable you will be with it. And in fact, the more uncomfortable you will be not doing it. Because you start to realize, man, this person could use this, and this person could handle this, and this person needs this from me. And you start to realize there is so much more that we have than we need. So much more. It must come supernaturally, but it also says this. He says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That freedom isn't used for us, it's used for others. Whatever freedom you have, maybe you have some free time, some free resources, some extra leftovers from Thanksgiving, I don't know, something, a resource. Goodness, you all have a voice. You could be using that. And it might not even be an audible voice, it might be a written voice, it might be a musical voice. We all have something that is a freedom in our life to use to serve others. He didn't give it to you for you to hoard it. Have you ever watched the show Hoarders? Oh my word. We go on a deep clean binge after watching an episode of that. I don't need this. That's gone. Or Mary Kato, this does not spark joy. We're getting rid of stuff. We're handing stuff out because we're done with it. Because we realize life is not about how much you can hoard. He who dies with the most toys does not win. The measure of a person, how much love did they give away? How much service did they give? That's what it is. As Paul says in another place, 2 Corinthians 8, 12 through 14, he says, for if the readiness is there, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. In other words, God gave you something for you to use it. If you don't have the resources for it, well, God didn't give that to you to use it. So don't worry about that one. If you would be willing, that's what matters. Excuse me a moment. It's that time of year. And in verse 13, he says, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. You have something extra. Somebody else has a need. Why not share it? And maybe you have an extra and you're not sure, does somebody have a need? Let us know. There's plenty of it to go around. And if experts are to be believed, there's going to be a whole lot more of that going on. We are going to have a great opportunity. I don't say that as a fear-mongering. I'm saying that as a pastor. We as a church are going to have excellent opportunities to meet needs in this community if we are willing to step up and serve, to be caring people that are serving people. And serving each other means using our freedom to serve those whom Christ loved enough to purchase with his own blood. That is why the church is beautiful and why serving her is a glorious privilege. Now, we're not a Methodist church, but we share some distant ancestry with them. And the founder of the Methodist, modern Methodist church, John Wesley, one of the founders, he had a rule that put together the practical commands of Scripture about serving. He said this: do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Wow, that's creative. It's good. It's to the point. I'd recommend reminding yourself of it on a regular basis, even if you can't even memorize it. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. In other words, if it is a good thing to do to serve others, do it. If you have the means of some way, do it. That's what we are as a serving church. Back to our key verses, the next verse, Galatians 5:14. Paul says this: for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love them as yourself. What could you surrender? We could ask ourselves questions. You want to know how to serve? Ask yourself these questions. What would love do? In this situation, what would love do? Not what would the most loving person, I want to make sure you understand what I said. Not the most loving person you know. What would love itself, if love could walk around with jeans on, what would it be doing in this moment? What would I want others to do for me? He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What would I want someone else to do for me if I were in that situation? If I were in this person's shoes, what would I want someone to do for me? Then do everything you can to accomplish that. But we can also ask ourselves other questions, like what skills has God given me? What resources do I have? What are my strengths? What needs am I aware of? Because Peter says this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now we see it is our responsibility to serve one another, because God has given that as a gift that we are responsible to steward. One day we're going to give an account. Hey, I gave you a silken voice. You can carry a tune. You can belt it out. And all you did was sing in the shower with it. Hey, I gave you hands that could build. Maybe not well, but you could do something with them. And this person approached you about Habitats for Humanity. Or this church had a building project. Or your neighbor just needed help with their back porch, and you fiddled around with model cars? Not that that's not an okay thing to do, but we should be seeking opportunities to serve with everything God has given to us. See, God didn't give you a gift for you to sit on it. He didn't give you a gift to make you look good. He gave you a gift, a talent, an ability, a resource for you to exhaust it for the sake of showing the world how good he is. That is the purpose for that gift. That is the purpose for that freedom. So let's put these together and see how we serve. In your bulletin, you should see something just like this. Go ahead and pull that out. Each one of you has been shaped to serve. Each one of you has this purpose in your life. And we use SHAPE as an acronym: your spiritual gift, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. God, for some of you, God has given you spiritual gifts. Some of you know more about the Bible than I could possibly. Some of you have forgotten more about the Bible than I could possibly have learned my entire life. That's a spiritual gift. So there are people here that could use your wisdom. How about you serve as a teacher? A life group leader, not small group, life group, because we don't just want to get together for small group. We want to share life with each other. Or maybe some of you have the ability to lead and organize. All right, what about this? Heart. What's on your heart? What are you passionate about? What gets you excited? What lights your fire? What, if you could only do one thing for the rest of your life, what would you want it to be? What's your heart? What about your abilities? Some of you have talents that you were born with. Some of you have skills that you have developed over decades of discipline. What are they? What about your personality? Look, if you are good at organizing things, but not good with people, maybe coordinating is not a good thing for you. Look, I put you in the schedule, just be there. But I have a funeral for my aunt. Might not work, okay? Think about your personality. But if God has given you a heart for people, if God is, just using this as an example, if God has given you a heart for people, if he has given you hands that can build things, if he has given you the ability to do that, and he's given you the spiritual gift of being able to evangelize, why not connect to Builders for Christ? That's just one example, by the way. Because that's exactly what they do. God has directly and specifically organized who you are to accomplish your mission in life, in serving. And what about your experiences? All right, some of us might have a spiritual gift, a heart, ability, a personality, but no experience. I didn't have any experience about being a lead pastor until you guys shoved me into this position. And those of you that are here, you know it was a shove, because I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And then finally God was like, no, you are doing it. Okay. And there's experiences that come along with it. You know what? Your experiences, there were experiences from being a youth pastor, my experiences in seminary, or just my experience in life in general that have come out as very helpful in ministry. It's like God orchestrated life to do exactly what he wanted it to accomplish. Oh, gee whiz, how amazing and smart and wise our God is. Your experiences come into play with this too. So I would recommend, I would just want to take just a moment, for you to look at the back at what areas you might be willing to serve. And by the way, there's a blank space. No, we didn't think of everything. If you have a specific area, please, by all means, fill that out at the bottom, an area that you think you'd like to serve. And then if you would put that in the offering box that is in the back as you leave. We want to collect these this week and the next couple weeks. Because I think in 2022, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to serve. And that's going to be beautiful. See, the church doesn't operate well, and I'm not just talking about Grace. I'm talking about the church as a whole. It doesn't just operate well when the elders and deacons and the pastors are doing their job. The church might survive, but it's not going to be doing well. You want to know what makes a church thrive? When every member of the body is operating as it should. Look, a body survives when the heart, lungs, and brain are technically functioning. But a body thrives when everything is working. When everything is doing what it was designed to do. You are shaped to serve in your own unique way. Your own unique way. God has a mission for your life. As a good steward of God's varied grace. So what does serving look like? Let's just breeze through this. What will this look like? Well, if we look back at this model, it is a pillar. What happens if I pull that serving pillar out? What's going to happen? Whole thing is going to collapse. It's going to topple down. We will still be connecting and worshiping. We will still be a church. We won't nearly be the church God designed us to be. And this pillar actually has several levels, and the commitment level reaches deeper into who you are the higher you go on this column. It begins with serving in the church. Those of you that ushered this morning, thank you. That's beautiful. That is in-church service. Those of you that help out with preparing for the parade, or those of you that have sung in the choir, that's wonderful. That is service worthy of honor that we truly do appreciate. But this is church-focused service. We see an immediate result of this. The pastor stands up and goes, great job, choir. Yes, that's good stuff. And when we clean, when we have food, church service. This is something that somebody could come in. I mean, several of you sang in the choir that my wife goes, wow, some new faces. No, it's the Allegheny Yeah, it's a group connection, right? So, there's also community. We aren't just called to serve grace. We are not just called to serve our church body here. This is group service. This is outreach events, hands and feet type ministries, community cleanup events, needy meals, local missions, things that we are doing. When we are out on the streets cleaning up and helping people, I've often thought about just having a serve Sunday where we just go out and just look for different things to do in the community to help. I mean, help somebody change their tire, help clean up, help a person take their groceries, whatever we can do. It's a community-wide, as a church. But the next level is when we take it to an individual level. You're not doing this because, you know, my church is doing this group thing. No, I saw an opportunity to serve. And because I'm a caring person, I'm going to be a serving person, so I'm going to help this. Whether or not my church is recognized, whether or not I'm recognized, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And the ultimate goal here is a servant leader. A person who can serve without the auspices of the church. Somebody who can go out and just be the love of God to someone who needs it, who needs the light of hope in serving one another. Now, for those of you that are already volunteering, thank you. I am not challenging you to take on one more thing that will overload you. That is not what today is about. You have answered that call. Thank you. Without you, what we do here at Grace wouldn't be possible. Grace would not exist without other servant leaders in the church. You've sacrificially given of yourself. And I know one thing. You don't do it for the applause. But I just want to say from my heart, thank you. I know for a fact this church would be limping along without a great deal of you who have served in many, many ways. Because look around. Everyone's doing something, right? Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't happening, by the way. Remember, we do those things in secret. But if you right now say, look, I really don't serve. I don't serve here. I don't serve in the community. I don't serve individually at all. Let me ask you, what are you doing that's going to count for eternity? What are you doing that with your life that is actually going to do more good than harm by the time you leave this life? How are you serving something other than yourself? Something that will go beyond your lifetime? Why would you settle for serving something that will only last a few years? Even if it lasts until the day you die, or until your children die. You know, there have been, I'm not making this about money at all, but there have been men, multi-million dollars, they left to their children. How many generations did that money last, you think? One. And these men spent their entire lives accumulating that wealth. Then there have been men who have accumulated a great deal of wealth, but taught their children how to handle money well and generously. And it lasted several generations because they taught their children and they taught their children and they taught their children how to serve with what God has given us. And by the way, those of you stuck at home, those of you who are elderly, those who feel, I can't do anything, you can do the most important thing any Christian could ever do, pray. Man, if there is anything we need more of right now, it is prayer. We need prayer warriors. We need people carrying every Christian up before the Lord, bringing them before the throne of grace and saying, Lord, we need your help. I mean, that's why we have prayer meeting. That's why we put out the prayer list. That's why the prayer chain is a thing in our church, because we recognize that without prayer, we are nothing, because that is what connects us to God. Serve through prayer, because you have a resource, time. If there is one thing, one resource I wish I had more of, time would be it. I would gladly trade any other resource you have. If my money could buy me more hours in the day, you'd have it. But unfortunately, we're all given 24 hours a day. And with three kids, I need sleep. You have time. That's a great resource. And maybe we have more sign-up events for our recurring service opportunities. Maybe we need to do the Shape to Serve more frequently. I don't know. But what I do know is this, that without serving, grace wouldn't be grace. So, as we go forward, as we look back on 2021 and look forward at 2022, what are some strengths coming? Man, I have seen you guys stepping up in ways left and right. Too many to number, too many to count. By the way, our shoebox, do you guys remember what our goal was? 300. No, I wanted that to be from us, but we are a distribution center. How many did we end up with, Sue?
Like 526. That was community-wide.
As a around 85. So next year, let's aim for 200. All right? And here's one of the things we're going to be doing. Each month, we're going to collect something to pack in shoeboxes. So 1 month, toothbrushes. The next month, a tiny stuffed toy. And the next month after that, coloring pages, anything, colored pencils. And we'll be gathering that each month as a donation so that at the end of the year, maybe we reach the 300 goal. But let's aim at 200. Let's do something realistic. Something difficult, but something realistic. So that we can reach the world with the gospel of Christ through serving, through giving of ourselves. We have a lot of opportunities coming up. And what they are, I don't know. Because 2020 took us by surprise. A lot of things in 21 took us by surprise. I'm guessing 22 is going to follow suit. But there will be great opportunities. That is promised. That is assured. So we as a church will be pursuing this. This Christmas season, we're looking at the hope. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Let your light shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are called to serve. Shine that light. That is how we shine as lights in this world. As we close this service with While Shepherds Watched, I want us to consider how this Christmas might be different if we made it less about the lights and the decorations and, you know, having your Christmas meal just right. What if we made it about making it a Christmas of service, of serving one another? Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. Caring people are serving people. As you go, you are sent to serve. Would you pray with me? Lord, Father, we are so grateful for your inviting us into your glorification of yourself, showing your goodness to the world. Lord, give us opportunity. Let us have the wisdom to see those opportunities and the strength to choose them. Lord, may we see the resources you have given to us, those things that we have just taken time to be thankful for, and be the reason someone else might be thankful to you. May we share those with those around us as we see the opportunity. Lord, may we live for eternity. May we live with eternity as our focus. In Jesus' name, amen.